Man, we ought to be the most celebrating, grateful, excited people on the face of the planet. Amen. And not to diminish the challenges that we have to go through, absolutely not. But we need to look at them in the light of eternity. Man. Oh, where am I? Praise God. Yes, thank you. I just get caught up in this stuff. When I first got saved, that's what I was like. I don't know about you. When I first got saved, I was a nutcase. I went from being a basket case to being a nutcase because I was so excited, man. I want to tell everybody about heaven. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. Man, I'm going to heaven. Can you imagine that? I would dream about heaven. I'd literally have dreams about going to heaven. Wow, here we come. And I'd see the fields all out in front of me and the beautiful blue sky. And I'd be looking at my brother-in-law, Dana, going, "We're in heaven. We made it. Check it out." I would think about heaven. I would sing about heaven. I would look for books about heaven. I couldn't wait to get to heaven. We'd be carpooling, talking in the morning. Man, maybe the rapture is going to happen today. I wonder what it's going to be like. Man, I hope it happens before we get to work. Praise God. Man, he's coming soon. And all we could think about was heaven. And I wanted as many people as possible to go with me. I was telling everybody, man, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. You got to get saved, man. This is cool stuff. And then time went by and he didn't come right away. Yeah. And bills had to be paid and kids needed to be raised. And problems had to be dealt with, and you know, things needed to be fixed, and life went on, and day after day ticked by, and I kind of lost sight of the big picture. I didn't really backslide or anything, but I started to become focused more on the day-to-day walk, just getting through today. Wasn't so excited, you know, okay, well, yeah, he's coming. What am I going to do about this afternoon? Man, where am I going to get that part for that car? I don't have that kind of money. And so I began to focus more and more on just the day-to-day walk, getting through the day. And that's okay. We need to take one day at a time. That's what the Lord told us to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Praise God. And we need to have that daily fellowship of God. But you know what? When you get into that kind of a rut, if you're not careful, you can fall into the trap very easily of saying, what can God do for me today? Instead of, what can I do for God today that will have an eternal impact on the life to come? What's God going to do for me today? How can he get me through today, get me through tonight until tomorrow? Rather than, what does God want me to do today, whether I see good or anything from it, but knowing that it will make an impact forever and forever and forever, living in light of eternity and then rejoicing in that. If I am living just for this life, it's easy. It is easy to get caught up in the cares and pleasures of this world. There are plenty of distractions out there to take away our attention, and there are plenty of things to worry about if we want to give ourselves to doing that. If there is anybody in here who has nothing in their life that causes them any concern at all, I'd love to talk to you, because you need counseling. You're on drugs. Let me steal your sunshine for a moment. You need to pull those bills out and start sending checks for some of those things. They're not just piling up without consequence. Praise God. But it's easy to get caught up. If we are just living for this life and you know, instead of living in light of eternity, it's easy to get discouraged when things go wrong. It's easy to get discouraged when we don't start to see the victory that we're waiting patiently for. It's easy to get a little bit jaded and a little bit calloused and a little bit hard-hearted and oh, I've been there and done that, and I'm not about to get excited. No, I don't feel like smiling, thank you very much. I'm just having a rough day today. Leave me alone. It's easy to get a little bit depressed if we're just living today. But, you know, much of our reward is yet to come. Just because, you know, we don't have things that thrill us to put goosebumps on our arms every day that we wake up, doesn't mean we have to get all depressed and discouraged about it. Much of our reward is yet to come, and we can rejoice in the fact that it's on its way. I don't know if you've ever been a little kid and sent away for something in the mail, and it said on the bottom of the thing, you know, long before the internet and FedEx and all this stuff, please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. And you know, you sent that thing away, and that afternoon you went out, did it come yet? The next morning, is it here yet? And your mom was like, John, it takes a month and a half. And it seemed like forever. And you know, you couldn't grasp that it had to go and get lost in the bureaucracy and mishandled and put on the shelf by a half a dozen people and then lost in the mail and then, you know, sent to the wrong house and finally make its way to your house 4 to 6 weeks later. And so we get discouraged, you know, sometimes because life is not as exciting as we'd like it to be. But, you know, there's a lot to get excited about, not only today because of our relationship with God, but for what's coming down the road. We have amazing things in store for us that God has promised to us. And, you know, we can beat ourselves up because life is just, you know, life is not happening the way we thought it would. And so we just figure we must be doing something wrong. And so we start thinking to ourselves, man, you know, what am I screwing up so bad that God is not bringing this blessing into my life? It hasn't happened yet. I've been waiting for it, so it must be that I'm doing something terrible. God must be punishing me. I must be, you know, I must be some kind of horrible person. And so we start beating ourselves up, and the enemy is handing us hammers. Use this. And, a piece of lumber. Use this. Try this on for size. And we take it right from him. Yeah, this is terrible. When am I going to get my act together? And God is like, no. Trust me. Rejoice in my promises. Trust in my faithfulness. I will show myself faithful to the faithful. And we can look forward to eternity. Whatever this world has to offer, we can look forward to an eternity of glory that staggers our imagination. And if we will embrace that and lay hold of that, we can find ourselves saying with the Apostle John, after he was in what do they call that when they send you away? They kick you out of the country. Exile, thank you. When he was exiled on some desert island, like Gilligan. When the Apostle John, in spite of all that, I mean, they tried to kill him. First, they tried to boil him in oil, and the Lord preserved his life, if you can imagine that. They tried to kill him a number of times. Finally, just sent him away, you know, on a three-hour tour to the Isle of Patmos. And in exile, with nothing, having lost everything, having lost his church. He used to pastor the church at Ephesus. All of his apostle friends had died and been killed brutally in martyrdom. Having been stripped of his church and his reputation and his friends and his loved ones and everything he held dear, sitting there on a pile of rocks on some godforsaken island called Patmos in the middle of nowhere. He still rejoiced and said, even so, Lord Jesus, come. And he was caught up in the joy of anticipation of what Christ had in store. Literally caught up in it. Praise God. Not, okay, Lord, you can come, but you know, right now I got a lot of partying I want to do. Rather, we can say, Lord Jesus, please come, bring the party. I'm waiting for you. I got some serious celebrating I can't wait to do in the kingdom of God. So number one, we need to rejoice in the life to come. Number two, if that's true, we need to invest ourselves in the life to come. We need to invest ourselves, our time, our affection, our resources in the life to come, and don't squander it all on what the world has to offer us today. Last week we talked about the fact that the Apostle Paul lost everything he had for Christ. He said, I count it as rubbish. I don't even miss it. I have lost everything for Christ and I count it as refuge and garbage so that I can gain Christ and know the power of his resurrection. Praise God. He paid a huge ministry to follow Christ, to do what God called him to do. He was persecuted. He was hunted down. They had contracts out on him. He had a bunch of men that said, we're not even going to eat until we kill him. How would you like that kind of contract on your head? Bunch of folks saying, I'll starve to death before I let you live. He was shipwrecked, persecuted, another guy shipwrecked, you know, on his way to Rome. I wonder if the skipper was at the wheel. Guy's got a terrible track record. Shipwrecked, persecuted, hunted down, stoned, beaten with all manner of rods and other things, left for dead, beat up, thrown in prison numerous times. He would walk into a city and the city would break out into a riot so that the Romans had to come and save his life because they were about to pull him limb from limb. He went through all of those things, bitten by a snake. All of that for the cause of Christ. And he said, I will, forgetting those, all those things I used to have, all the prestige, all the honor, all the education, all the glory, all the stuff I used to have, I am forgetting those things and I am pressing forward for the prize of the high calling of what Christ Jesus has in store for me. I'm putting it all behind me. I count it as trinkets compared to the gold that Christ has in store for me. And if this is the price, bring it on. Bring it on. He said in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, our light affliction. Can you imagine that?